Hello, everyone, and welcome to this year's CR Arthritis event. I'm Kelly Linvoy, VP of Communications and Public Affairs at ACE. And today I'm excited that we're being joined by Kara Irwin. Kara, welcome.
Thank you.
Kara, you're a Arthritis Research Canada trainee completing your PhD in Community Health Sciences at the University of Calgary. And you're working closely with one of our favorites here on the show, Dr. Cheryl Barnaby, a leading researcher clinician in Canada. And you are working with Cheryl on ways to improve health systems and services for people with inflammatory arthritis and gout. Maybe to start off, just to make sure our audience understands what we're talking about. What do we mean when we say inflammatory arthritis, and what is gout?
So, inflammatory arthritis, as you and a lot of your listeners know, arthritis is like a really broad term, and the conditions within it and the experiences of people within it can look very different. So, the arthritis conditions that we're interested in are inflammatory arthritis, which we included as rheumatoid arthritis, psoriatic arthritis, ankylosing spondylitis. JIA and gout is a bit different, but because rates of gout are increasing and hospitalizations for them are increasing quite a bit, we thought it was important to acknowledge gout as well. Gout is also about inflammation in a joint. It's usually in one joint in the case of gout, and it's related to kind of too much uric acid that builds up in the blood and then causes pretty severe pain in one of the joints. So it has flares. And there's an inflammation role, similar to inflammatory arthritis conditions.
So at this year's annual meeting, you're presenting a poster on emergency visits and hospitalizations in people with IA, inflammatory arthritis, and gout. And that's what we'd like to focus in on today. Can you tell us at the outset just a little bit about this poster and what you were looking to measure and maybe what some of those key findings were?
So the findings from this poster and this study are contained within a much larger program of research, and this was kind of the foundation to some of the work that we would like to do in the future. And as you've seen from Cheryl Barnaby's work, she does a lot of work with a lot of amazing students. So this is sort of a foundational piece. So we're interested in supporting patients in getting the care they need in their communities. With the hypothesis that they're having to use urgent care, emergency care, and hospital more than the system would prefer, and I think a lot more than they would prefer from speaking with patients as well. But step one is to understand how often people with inflammatory arthritis and gout are presenting to emergency department and hospital, and to understand, who's using it for what, how often, before we can answer some of those questions that we would like moving forward in some of the future research.
So I had a look at the poster, which is fantastic, by the way. Congratulations. And it seems to me one of the key takeaways is that acute care that you're referring to, acute care use remains alarmingly high despite advances in management of IA and arthritis, diseases and gout. And I guess that might be a surprise for some of us. Since we think that we have made some inroads in terms of disease management, but still obviously a lot of work to do.
And I think the intention of the poster is to show that use is still high despite these advances, but I'm not looking to take away from the advances. But what questions this sort of raises for us is what is management of inflammatory arthritis and gout? I think health systems and rheumatologists and healthcare providers, we really like when inflammatory markers come down and rheumatoid factors come down, and we feel really good when that happens. That does translate to improved outcomes for patients. But management of chronic disease is so much more than preventing flares and numbers coming down. And that's one of the things that we're wondering, like, do these numbers demonstrate to us a little bit?
Maybe we can just explore that a bit for our viewers, Kara. And that is, from, as you describe, a health outcomes perspective, if people living with IA or gout are making frequent emergency visits and hospital stays, what does that mean? What would that indicate, for instance, as it relates to them managing their disease?
That's a really good question. That's what a lot of our next phases of research are hoping to answer, because that was exactly our question as well. Some of our hypotheses is sometimes in the management of inflammatory arthritis and gout, the medications, which do a lot to improve, also suppress immune systems. So is it kind of infections and other challenges that can come from the medications? So yay, medications are improving markers and reducing flares and improving management. But what's the flip side to that? And what can we do to support the flip side of that, so that it's not ending up in emergency care and acute care? Like, what is the room for prevention in there? Another thing we've learned from previous research coming from Dr. Barnaby's lab is that many patients who go to emergency department or urgent care try to find other ways to get that health need met first. So they'll phone specialist office, they'll try to go through family doctor, they'll phone kind of health advice lines, and either aren't able to get an appointment or aren't able to get an appointment in time, or are directed to emergency because there isn't kind of space within those services to meet the need. So again, the question comes, like, does that need to be urgent care, emergency care? And one of our hypotheses is possibly not, if there was some health system rejigging, for lack of a better word, that could be improved to prevent that. So can we prevent some of the consequences of the medications that have done so much? Can we do some shifting in health system improvement to prevent this from having to be an emergency department or hospital visit? And then another one of our hypotheses is, are there populations and groups within the inflammatory arthritis and gout community that have some unique needs that we haven't figured out from some of our broader data? So one of the areas that we're hoping to research in the future is people with a history of adverse childhood events or trauma in childhood. The difference that that makes in terms of the ability to engage in self-management and the ability to engage in relationships with health systems and health providers. And how can we support that?
That's really interesting. I think our audience knows that ACE is doing a lot of work in the area of health equities and particularly health inequities.
Yeah.
We've done some national survey work in that area and done some, I think, really groundbreaking subset analysis as it relates to the BIPOC population, Black, Indigenous, and people of color. So I think that angle that you're talking about is one that greatly interests us, and we look forward to talking to you about that certainly in the future. And also, I think what you're touching upon probably is the area of underserved patients or underserved communities. So what does this mean in terms of emergency room visits and hospitalization when you are living in, let's say, rural or remote regions of Canada, where we know there's a discrepancy or disparity between the number of rheumatologists who are available in the north as opposed to in the urban south? So that's very interesting. You did mention that one of the diseases that is under the inflammatory arthritis umbrella is JIA. Do you have any specific findings as it relates to a younger patient population?
I think the most interesting finding, which was surprising, is how few studies there are on JIA. So we did a really broad systematic review. We kept our search really like intentionally broad so that we can go through and look for things that might not come up in search terms. And the only studies that we could find for JIA were about frequencies of hospitalizations, and they weren't for JIA specifically. So out of the 78 studies that were included, there are only two that were about JIA, and both of them had JIA combined with other conditions. So we weren't even able to find out anything for JIA specifically, which was very interesting.
It is. And for our readers and viewers, listeners, they know when we talk to researchers like you that those type of findings are often very, very important. And that is, where are those gaps and identifying them in the research and the need to pursue and explore them. So certainly a lot more work to be done in that area. I think finally, something for our audience to focus in on as it relates to the subject of your poster is a reminder to them that emergency care and hospitalizations are clearly some of the most expensive forms of healthcare delivery. So there's a big cost outcome and cost consequence for the work that you're doing. And that's not just limited to, you know, hospital bills, the need for diagnostic tests, the cost for treatments, medications during after hospital stays, but it's also what we call indirect costs. And that is people who experience, you know, a loss of productivity at their job, disability. We talk about absenteeism and presenteeism, challenges at work. So I think that's another factor that, as you say, you're going to advance this into second and third stages. It'll be, I think, interesting to look at that consequence for patients as well.
I think it's that cost. You're absolutely right. And I think also and we've heard this from patients, the cost of, it's going to sound kind of cheesy, but the cost of like hope or optimism in health systems almost. Like most people, and this isn't the fault of any individual providers, there's like wonderful, amazing people working in emergency departments and hospitals. But for most patients, going to the hospital and going to emergency department is the last resort. It's not something they want to do. Like the wait time is long. There's sometimes not even a bed, and you're sort of in this weird chair in the hallway. You're there for a really long time. It's not comfortable. Like if you're there for a flare or pain, like that isn't somewhere you want to be when you're in pain, unless you absolutely have to. And then often kind of that maybe immediate need that caused you to go gets met, but it's a short-term thing. It's not a long-term thing. And then they often have to go through that cycle over and over again, which decreases patients' trust in kind of health systems and health systems' ability to support the health and quality of life that they want to have. And I think especially for populations like equity seeking populations and populations with a history of adverse events, that relationship with the system, the trust in the system, the dependency in the system starts to erode. And so that's part of what we would also like to prevent and part of the cost.
One of our most recent surveys was on arthritis and mental health. And I think certainly what you're describing, what does that do for a person with IA or gout's mental health in terms of, does this raise their level of anxiety? Does this increase the chances of them experiencing depression? A very, very real concern. So it sounds like there's so much more work to be done, and we're excited to meet you at this early, early stage, and we'll be watching closely. I think I told you when we were just talking before the interview started, one of the exciting things for us when we're at the annual meeting is to obviously speak to some of the well-established leaders across Canada. But it's equally exciting to talk to the next generation of leaders. And Kara, you're certainly one of them. So it was our pleasure to have you join us. And I think more importantly, the start of a beautiful relationship in terms of you being able to share your experience and insights with us over the next few months and years as you progress in your field of research. So a real pleasure meeting you.
Thank you. And I really like when you refer to me that way because I'm one of the more mature students that have come back to school. So being referred to as in that way makes me feel young and closer in age to some of my peers. So I love that. Thank you.
My pleasure. And certainly, we're thankful for everyone who has joined us today and learning about a really important subject area. And Kara, thank you again. We look forward to talking to you again sometime soon.
Thank you.
Bye bye, everyone. Thank you for joining us.